If you find the majority of the people around you astray, وإن تطع أكثر من في الأرض يضلوك عن سبيل الله. Perhaps we can translate this into our own lives by avoiding anti-Islamic social customs and peer pressure. In this respect, it is all right to stand out, be different, and appear as a minority, because in reality, siding with God makes us a majority. Then there is a verse with an intriguing scientific perspective. فَمَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَن يُرِدْ أَن يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. When God wills to guide someone, he opens his chest wide with willingness to self-surrender. And if he wills to let someone go astray, he makes his chest tight and constricted, as if he were climbing up the sky. Long after this verse was revealed, it was discovered that oxygen pressure is lower in high altitude, which causes chest tightness when climbing high mountains or flying on pressurized airplanes. So many consider this verse a scientific prediction. Wallahu a'lam. One of the strong messages of Surah Al-An'am is to avoid prohibiting what God allowed. Although it was addressing some Jews who at the time expanded the realm of forbidden foods, the tendency continues today among some Muslims in what I summarize as the haram syndrome. In this context, haram means absolutely forbidden by God, and its opposite is halal, which is the default, not the exception. The larger message is for Muslims to sort out their priorities. قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. The Quran states, let me convey to you what God has really forbidden you. 10 golden rules follow. Number 1, أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, no partnership to God. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, goodness to parents. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Believe in God's bounty and that the future is in His hands. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Avoid major sins, revealed or concealed. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Thou shall not kill. Human life is sacred. Number 6. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Protect the orphan and their guardianship. وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Pursue equity in all your dealings. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. Practice justice even against your kin. وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. Honor your bond with God, your moral obligation to use whatever God endowed you with towards His cause. And the 10th rule is God saying, this is the road that leads straight unto me. Do not get lost following other paths. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ. Then there is a reminder that God created humanity as the only species which has a free will. A reminder to Muslims that there is no room for following someone else blindly or blaming others for our own mistakes. In Islam and by its nature, there is no pledge to anyone other than God, to whom all shall return. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْغِي رَبًّا وَهُوَ رَبُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى ثم إلى ربكم مرجعكم. The Quran then gives a special order by God to the Prophet in a verse which can be the ethic of every Muslim. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Say, my prayer, my worship, my living and my dying are for God, cherisher of the worlds. Apart from the linguistic beauty, the use of mahyaya rather than hayati, notice that the verse does not state my life and my death are for God. It states my living and my dying are for God. The way I live my entire life, it is an ongoing process. And how I perpetually conduct myself as I approach the end of life, that too will be for God. In the next surah, Al-A'raf, the Quran introduces the Islamic version of the original sin in the story of Adam and Eve. Unlike many biblical versions, the Quran does not state that sin originated in Eve alone. We know this because of a single letter, Alif al-Tathniya, which in Arabic is the correct grammar to refer to two people rather than one. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ. According to the Quran, temptation happened to both Adam and Eve. Both sinned by touching the tree which God ordered them to avoid. The Quran then contrasts the sin of the devil who tempted them with the sin of Adam and Eve. While the devil is arrogant, he neither repents nor apologizes. Both Eve and Adam felt sorry and sought forgiveness. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. The Quran here reminds us of the possibility that temptation, by whatever form the devil takes, can continue to haunt us in ways which can be very deceptive, like instilling a certain feeling in our heart, even when we intend to pursue God's way. That is why we pray not only for guidance and forgiveness, but for protection and immunity. وَقِنَا وَصْرِفْ عَنَّا, as you shall hear later tonight. The Quran then reminds us that being human is first and foremost about humility. Arrogance might be the devil's key to someone's heart that denies him or her entry into heaven. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Then God states that he understands our limitations and does not burden someone with what they are not equipped to handle. Those who are granted heaven are those who attain to faith and work to the best of their ability.
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ.
Have you ever wondered what heaven looks like? Here, God portrays a vivid image describing the people living inside heaven as having hearts that are completely free from any anger, jealousy, or bitterness, where the darkness of hatred has been literally extracted. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِم مِّن غِلٍّ تَجْرِي مِّن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. And then the Quran reads,
a voice will call unto them. This is the paradise which you have inherited by virtue of your past deeds. In the unknown world of the afterlife, one could reflect on this choice of words, inheriting heaven through action. Whether older generations have been there before us, whether we get to meet our loved ones there if we are worthy of heaven. وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. The following verses talk about nature, offering examples of healing and rebirth, with a parable connecting faith to earth, in that the same life-giving power of God which causes plants to grow is the one by which he resurrects the dead at the end of time. سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءَ فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى. The parable continues by likening those whose hearts are open to the voice of truth to a fertile land, and those who are bent on denying the truth to barren earth. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. Finally, verses scan through a long chain of prophethood, including Nuh, Hud, Salih, Lut, and Shu'aib, all delivering the same message from God, and all facing varying forms of rejection by their people. The chapter concludes, emphasizing the value of patience in adversity, and that God is the best of all judges. فَاصْبِرُوا حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَنَا وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. May God accept and forgive. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ.